Yeah. My mother lived for a while on Mount Riga. And my Uncle George Frink, that's on my mother's side, she was a Frink. He was the last old timer that lived up there.
Is that so?
Yeah. He owned 2 yoke of oxen. He was a big man. He was probably a foot taller than you. He was about that thick and he was this wide. And he had a pair of lungs that you can't. He could holler, "Gee, ha," and he could be heard. He could hear, be heard off of that mountain on the right day. Yes, sir. And he was one of the nicest old men that was in this country. And he lived, you know, where John Vicini used to live up there.
No, I don't.
Well, John Vicini moved up there. And he worked, I guess, for the Warners, the association. And he moved in there. And he didn't farm it. I guess he had a couple of cows or something like that. But Uncle George used to have cows. And he furnished them with milk and took care of the camps.
For the Warners.
Yeah, for the Warners. That's when old Judge Warner was alive. There's another one of the nicest men that ever walked. A real nice, not like Don Warner down here. he was a big man, and Don Warner, of course, down here, he never talked much, you know. Old Judge Warner was, he was a judge in Hartford. Mm-hmm. What do they call him, High Judge?
Yeah, I don't know, but
yeah, High Judge. And Don Warner down here was a lawyer. And Uncle George moved down to Lakeville. Now, them days, they didn't call it Walton Street down by the community service. They called it Muck Alley. That was the name of it.
Because it was so low and it used to get
It was swampy all down through there. But on the flat, and then when it went up the hill and the house on the right, my Uncle George had a little farm there. And he had 2 or 3 cows, and he didn't have any children, as I know of. But he was some man. He used to go in the woods with those. At that time, they used to cut telephone poles and things like that. You know,
must have been a lot of evergreens then, wouldn't they?
Big trees, a lot of, yes. And he used to cut them. And they used to, there's a lot of men. Then George Ostrander. George Ostrander lived in a house right where they got the park now, where they got a little park in there. That would be north of the dam where George Ostrander lives, mm-hmm. on the right-hand side of the dam, go up there a little ways. And George Ostrander was the last one up there, but he didn't do anything like that. He just lived up there, as far as I know.
How about those Is that when the middle road was used more than the
Yep. Well, let's see. The middle road and the west road.
Middle road and the west road, yeah. Over near the reservoir coming up.
Yep.
The middle road that runs up at the end of...
This here road.
How did they get on this? Was Lincoln City, for instance, was that in existence?
Yep. Yep.
And so Lincoln City...
And this here, road here, run right into it.
And was there a lot of traffic that way, by traffic?
Well, it was, horses.
The horses and the oxen.
Yeah, horses and oxen. And they could use both roads, see? The west road. But the west road, they had buildings, had people living along it. Where the Raggy Road didn't. I can remember of going up at West Road with my father once with a horse, team of horses. And there was two places that he stopped and talked. There was an old woman come out on the porch. It was just a ladder, like a steps going into the house. No, a little landing, and they went in the house. It was just one. And I can remember him talking with her. Now that could have been a roster. There was a lot of rosters up there. And then when you go up that middle, that west road, you go up and you come to a bunch of hemlocks on both sides of the road. And you go down, you'll see a wall, and where there used to be kind of a barn foundation on the left-hand side, a big one. I think you and I went up there once.
We poked around in that area.
You know. Yep. Well, over across that brook, there's a hole there, and then there's a foundation in there. I dug in there. I used to hunt for bottles. And I dug in there. I found two or three old bottles. I found a bottle where when they took it off, they must have put their thumb in it because of this man's thumb.
Print was right in the...
right in the bottle. Yep.
And there were other people lived along that road.
There was, but see, I don't...
Say there were two or three houses along
that road? Oh, yes. There was two or three houses along that road. Up as far as we are, you break into the cleared land. There was two or three houses. Oh yes, and my mother's cousin, Freddie Boudelier, his name is. And we come up to my father made the first watering kettle up that road out of a log.
Oh yeah.
Cut the tree and chopped that out and made that kettle for the horses. That's when he worked for Don Warner. Then he made the second one. He and Richie Parsons run into a log down the foot of the ski jump. My father said, Richie, you know what we ought to do? That old kettle's gone up there. We ought to better hollow that out. Of course, had chainsaw them days. Not the first one, but when Richie helped. And they cut that out and drawed that up there and put that there. But where those hemlock trees are, you go down in between them, and you'll see a cleared spot in there. You go across the brook, you'll see an old foundation across that brook. Now, I think that you own it.
No, you think that's the piece that
I think that is
down.
A piece that, what was it, 15 or?
Yeah, 22 acres.
22 acres. I think that's the piece that you own.
That I've never been able to find.
Yep, I think that's the piece that you own, yep, that you haven't been able to find. And because...
Yeah, that would have been a place for some kind of farm or...
Yeah, probably had a bridge across that brook. And that's the only place I... Because otherwise, I don't know where in the heck anyone could have built, couldn't build up along that road because all that's so steep. But I think that's just exactly where, because I used to hunt there. I'd go up there and I'd turn there. Go across that brook. Go up in there. There's a big flat up in there. It's right full of laurel. I'd wait. I was hunting deer, and I've shot a lot of deer there.
Now, how about this other road, the one, that was the west road we're talking about. How about the middle road? Were there buildings, houses on that?
Yep. There was one just down here, just above your where you own, and maybe you do own it. I don't know. I think you got a... Your land runs like that, and then it goes up like that, and over like that little piece. It runs in there. And, there's an old foundation up just above there. You must have seen that.
Yeah, I've seen one or two in there.
And I think there's one up on top, and then you go through there and up where that laurel is, and up on that flat, I think there's another place up there. I used to cross all them things and go through, because when you're trapping, you know, you're taking trap, you take shortcuts. And I used to run onto them. That's mostly how I learned all these woods. You never could lose me in these woods,
no,
the mountain.
That,
no, sir.
That. Even though they've changed, you seem to know.
Yeah.
You mentioned on, I think on the other tapes that you'd about wood being sawed up, and I didn't know where the sawmills were. And then you talked also about apples being pressed, and I didn't know where the cider mills were. You know, can you remember where the wood was sawed and where the...
Well, George Barton had a cider mill where they pressed the apples.
Where was that?
That, you go up the Under Mountain Road. What is that? 41? 41. And I think Payne lives there now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's where George Barton lived, and he had a sawmill in there, in the cider mill, I mean.
In a cider mill. Was there any other, do you recall, there is this cider place, cider press that we have up here. Was that ever used, that you recall?
Oh, you mean this, over in this, on the right-hand side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know that there was a cider mill there. I think I was up there just once, as I recollect. That used to be a kind of a little cider mill. Whether they done it for everybody or for just for themselves, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty big press, so I thought maybe it was...
Well, if it's a big press, they probably did. Press for people.
You know, they could press on thing.
Barrel.
Or at least more than a barrel of apples, they could press two barrels of apples at a time.
Well, then that was a cider mill, but I don't remember when that was a going. Hmm. Oh. And there's I think there's quite a few things on this property that people has never seen. Now, like that second foundation up there, where there's twin maples. I call them twin maples. Mm-hmm. By those twin maples. I don't remember any building being there. I used to be up around here, but that probably disappeared before I... Mm. Yep.
And I don't know who that belonged to. Do you remember when you were very young, the kind of games you talked about, baseball, did people play other games, was stick games or...
down here in the academy building, that used to be a kindergarten and the thing, and then it used to play they were iron things. I think they called it shuffleboard. Uh-huh. You'd slide that down that thing there and see how close you can come to the one thing that's set down there. It used to be one of them.
How long was it? Did it have a flat surface? Where was it now? Nope. Was it outside or inside?
Inside, in that room. Uh-huh. It was as long as, that shuffleboard was, I'd say about as long as this room. Hmm. It was about this wide, shuffleboard. Then it also had a trough on, just like a bowling alley. If it went off, it dropped in there. That wasn't
what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, that was a shuffleboard.
And were there outdoor things which kids played?
Well, it wasn't too much. Only baseball.
How did kids get into trouble? What did they do to get into trouble, you know?
Well, yeah, if they stole something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wasn't like swiping peaches or something, but did they get into trouble?
Well, they didn't think that was any, they didn't
no,
think
that's,
that.
That's not the same. But
no. Well, I never heard of any kids getting into trouble when I was a kid. No, they got into deviltry. They'd go through a fence and steal tomatoes out of a garden. I remember once it was about 8 or 10 of us. We used to have a swimming hole. We called it the willow hole because there was a big willow tree. We used to get up in that willow tree and dive off in the brook. The hole was deep as this room.
And where was it, Steve?
Down on Reed's property. That's where Matt Kiefer lives now. That belonged to Baldwin Reed's father. What was his name? Fred Reed. And then up this side, right where Pope owns now, where that lettuce place is, there was three stucco houses. They had a kitchen, a bedroom, and a living room, and the toilet was right off the kitchen, just a toilet. And they lived there, and then old Bill Lampson, he owned a place down on the corner, which the house is gone from there now, right down the foot of Dark Hollow. Down below that, you know where that stucco house is on the corner? That used to belong to Egbert Howell. And down on that corner, old Bill Lampson used to live. And They used to take them kids, Phil Lampson, Bill Lampson, used to have to get the wood. And old Fred got a couple of wagon tires, ironmen. Said, "You boys," now he says, "you go up there, I got the two tires in there, and you pack that full of wood." Gee whiz, the tire was bigger around than this. It was big anyway, or bigger maybe. Well, they packed that full of wood, and it was way up on the top, and that was steep. They rolled that down that mountain, and it went right through the house. But the old Bill Lansom told him to do it. That was the father. He was dumb. Right through the house. But that, well, that must have been a half a cord of wood stuck in it.
Yeah.
And now you see, I've wandered off.
Well, we're talking about the deviltry and the people might have gotten into, so.
Well, they used to steal and, we used to go swimming down to that willow hole where my house is now. Used to go across that lot down there. Then there was another lot. And then there was a little patch of woods down in there. And we used to go down there, us boys, and there'd be 8 or 10. And we used to go swimming naked, you know. And there was a fellow that worked on the section. His name was George Plant. He was a Frenchman. Jesus, he had a big patch of potatoes, about as wide as these two rooms, and long. Well, we got on our hand, a couple of us, got on our hands and knees. We was digging potatoes. Well, we'd go there, and then we'd set the tops back. And old George, he found out that the goddamn top wounded butt down. He looked in there and beaming old potatoes. See where somebody dug them. So he says, "I'll bet you them kids, they go swimming down there, digging my potatoes." You remember Johnny Du Bois?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, and them, and I, Jesse. Oh, well, 5 or 6 of us down there swimming. We made a fire, and we took them potatoes one day, and put them in the coals, let them bake. And John Du Bois was over here on this side.
On your right.
Yeah, and in order to come down to us, George Plant had to come from this way because he lived up there. So John didn't see him right away. He didn't see him till he was about the door. And he didn't dare to say anything or do anything. So Jesse said, here's a potato, John. "No, I don't want a potato. I don't want a potato. You don't want a potato." Says, "You're a damn fool. What the hell's the matter with you?" He said, "Take that potato, John." No, I don't want to." George says, "Might just well take it, John." Why, I'm scared. They all run, every one of them run. I was there and jumped right in that big hole in that brook. Well, then, of course, we had to get out because our clothes was there. And George said, "Boys, come out here." He says, "I ain't mad at you. I want to tell you." He says, "God's sake," she says, "don't dig my potatoes, them new potatoes of mine." He says, "I've got 2 barrel of old potatoes that I had left over from last year. And I'll have the old woman give you all you want so you can bake them. Well, we used to go over there and she'd give us a paper bag full.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. But we used to be helping her. That's the deviltry. That's about as much deviltry we got into, things like that.
How about any kind of, you think of all the police reports today, was there any kind of crime of any kind that you can recall?
I can remember a crime. And, well, there was a colored fella. He worked at the White Hart Inn. And his name was, I'm just thinking of it. One morning, just lately. And he was one of the nicest acting colored fellows ever was. I'll tell you what his name is, like it comes to me. Well, there was an old lady worked there. She used to do washing, pick up the clothes and do the washing and worked at the White Hart. And this colored man, he used to take her home. Give me what his name. Well, anyway, and then we lived up in Roaring Oaks, up at the Hanging Rock. That's where my grandfather lived. Oh, his name was Bill Banks. We seen him coming down with this pickup truck with these clothes just a flying out of the thing and going it full blast. And he used to be talkative. He'd stop and visit with you, and he never stopped. He went like heck. Well, the next morning, about 6:30, Mike Satori's father used to go on wood jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, when he went down on this wood job, he seen this body lay, you know, where where the grist mill is down here now. Mm-hmm. You know, where the grist mill is. He went down that back road, which comes out on 41. Then I laid that body and he looked, and it was Jen Edelman. She'd been murdered. And Bill Banks disappeared and they never found him. And he'd pounded her to death.
Assuming it was he who did it.
Oh yeah, well he had to, because I and my mother seen him with her that night just before dark. With that washing. And he worked to the White Hart Inn. He went to the White Hart Inn and he had a car, and he was married to her name was Ella Banks, and he just disappeared just like that. You never heard hide nor hair of him.
How about larceny, stealing things? Was there any of that you recall?
No, I don't. You mean breaking in houses?
Yeah.
And things like that? No.
It's no. A different world.
Yeah, it's altogether different, you know.
Yeah. One of the other questions I wanted to ask was with the game that was shot, how much of it got eaten?
Hmm?
With the animals that were shot, how much was eaten? Rabbit.
Well, the time, Them days, there was lots of jackrabbits. They were that high. Big, big jackrabbits. And we used to hunt jackrabbits. Jesse and I used to up here on your property. This was a lot of jackrabbits here.
Here on Silic Hill.
Here on Silic Hill, and you know where the town dump is now?
Mm-hmm.
As you go down that hill, and the lots on the other side of that was full of jackrabbits. And we used to have a part bulldog and, well, probably collie or something like that. He was mixed up. And he'd strike a jackrabbit track, and he wouldn't bark, but he'd squeal. And we was always rifle hunters. Never hunted with shotguns, but we were good shots, real good shots. And we'd shoot the jackrabbits, and we'd skin them, clean them nice, and eat them. And then when we didn't want them, there was a family lived right up here by the name of Brigantes. And that was a farm too, mm-hmm, that joined this one. And we used to...
Was that before Petit was up there?
Oh, yeah. That was before Petty got there. And we'd come down across that lot, have two or three jackrabbits, and we'd stop there and give old man Brigante, and he pastured that pasture of yours up this way up north there. And now there was only two or three trees in that whole thing there at that time.
Yeah.
And that was all pasture. And we used to give them to him. And once in a while he'd give us a half a dollar. Well, that was quite a little. And we was thankful to get it. And we used to, there never shot many deer. There wasn't many deer around then. Wasn't many coon around then. There was jackrabbits, squirrels, cottontail rabbits, lots of pheasants.
Were all those used for eating?
Yep. Yeah, their hide, their fur was no good. Mm-hmm. The only furs was any good was muskrat, mink, otter.
A lot of fox, wasn't it?
Fox, coon. There was a lot of fox, a lot of red fox, and quite a few woods gray. Yep. Them woods gray were more of a hazard on killing chickens, catching people's chickens, than red foxes.
Excuse me. Yeah, could you tell me about the...
Blacksmith? Yeah. Well, it was... Fred Marston, he used to have a blacksmith. You know where that, where the they keep the ambulance now,
mm-hmm,
and things there? There used to be a little bit of building just to the right of that and in north of it. And he used to have a blacksmith shop in there for a while. He used to shoe horses and things like that. And then he finally moved down on Library Street, where I live. The other side of, you know where Frank lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that house, so he moved in that house there. And then he had a, out back towards the brook, he had a blacksmith shop in there. Used to shoe horses. And fix, you know, you could pound out iron and things like that, add an anvil and things.
Were you, did you get a chance to stand around and watch them?
Oh, yes. Yep. I used to always watch them. Mm-hmm. Pound down a horseshoe, just a thing like that, and he'd pound that horse. He had certain things he'd put that into and pound that shoe. And then he'd put it on the heat, heat it up a little bit, put it in there and pound that thing. It'd be red hot, and he'd pound it out. And then when he got done, he'd stick it into a tub of water.
And it would sizzle.
Yep. Yeah, I used to watch. Yeah.
Were there other other things like the blacksmiths that I was trying to think of other trades there might have been. There were the shopkeepers and then the...
Salisbury School was heated with coal. Chestnut coal. And used to draw coal with a ton truck, chain drive, Rio, up there, and you'd shovel it in a chute, and then you'd have to have, I used to help this fella during the summer vacation, his name was Hubert Scott, and I used to help him, and my mother used to give me heck, I'd come home, dirty dog. And pushing it back, because you'd have to start in the back, you know. And they'd draw it in the summertime and have, that coal bin was as long as these two rooms together.
It must have been rough.
About as wide as that. Is
about
it
30 yeah. feet and about 12, 14 feet wide.
Yeah. And they used to fill that right full of chestnut coal, or pea coal. Yeah, and they used to back in, the train used to back right in there, just like that. And then they'd open up these things and dump it in this pocket. And then they used to take in, they had a gasoline motor. Well, they used to have gasoline lawnmower too up at Salisbury School. I worked up to Salisbury School a good many years. And I used to mow the football diamonds and all that, take care of all the lawns and everything. And then it used to be a thing with all out of buckets and take it up in them big bins and go around and dump it. And then they...
This was right in the railroad yards.
Right there. Yeah, it was just a little bit of yard, about as wide as this room. Mm-hmm. Train back right in there, and then they'd start unloading that coal. That's all you had to do was just watch it. Start that motor, and if it was awful dry coal, a lot of dust in it, they used to have a hose over the edge of the car running in on it to settle that dust. And they have a place where you run a truck right straight through the building. And then you stop underneath this thing and you pull down this chute and put it in the truck and then pull this lever like that. And that coal will come to that truck. I've done that lots of times.
I bet it was pretty dusty when that came down.
Oh yes, it'd be dusty and dirty. Oh yeah. They had the smallest coal they had was bird's eye coal. That would be smaller than pea coal. Then pea coal, then chestnut coal, then egg coal. Egg coal was the biggest, chunks like that. And Hoskey School used to burn egg coal. Yep. Oh, there was a lot of things like that. Used to have a jail down here. It was brick. And once in a while, some of them old timers get drunk, something there, and they'd take them up and put them in there overnight. They sobered up.
Let them cool off.
Cool off, yeah. But they weren't selling no kind of booze in the town of Salisbury. It was sold in Millerton. They'd go over on the 7 o'clock train and come back on the 8. And that train would be right full of men and women, some men, women that drank. Yeah.
What else did they use the jail for? They didn't have anything else going on here.
Well, unless somebody stole something, you know, small thing or in a house or something. Oh, there was thieves around, but I was a young kid and I didn't, you know. And Horace Kelsey was a sheriff.
Horace Kelsey. Oh, Horace, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a sheriff, and he lived right there where they got that television place there, where you go see about to pay for your television bills and that. That was the sheriff's office, and then they had a scale there. That's where the coal place was too. You drive your truck right on there, and it was about as wide as that. Set the truck and get out of the truck, and then the big scale was in the window. And Mrs. Kelsey, she'd weigh it, and then she'd say, "Go on." She'd give you a slip. You give it to the yeah.
This is Don Hewitt interrupting once again. I just came to know Skeet because we spent a lot of time leaning over a pickup truck in the backyard and told me lots about this area. But in addition, he had a number of stories he liked to tell. And some of them were a little exaggerated. But maybe he'd tell us one now, perhaps one of his hunting stories, perhaps about the one he shot three deer with one bullet or one arrow. You got a story, Skeet?
What's that?
Any wild story that you've told me a lot of stories that I didn't quite believe, and that's the kind of unbelievable thing I want.
Well, I'll tell you, if you didn't believe them, I didn't lie.
Well,
I didn't lie, but you can tell stories. I've seen things around here that you wouldn't believe.
Hmm. Well, there was one story you told about shooting three deer or something with one bullet.
Not me. That must have been somebody else.
Must have been somebody else.
Because I never shot three deer with one bullet. But I know once upon Monument Mountain, I was hunting and it was two buck deer fighting, pushing, and they had their front legs and head down. And banks on the road was about this high, and I could just see over them. And I had Frank with me. And Frank, I said, "Don't shoot at them deer," because I says, "You ain't gonna hit them. I'm going up the road where it gets thinner, and I'm gonna shoot with the heads and maybe get both of them." Well, I got just ready to shoot, and he shot and hit one leg. That ended that. He crippled it, but I shot that deer afterwards because I see where the wounded deer been traveling, and I went there and scared it, or what's called Earl Dean scared him out of this patch of laurel, and he was coming trotting out on three legs, and this leg was just a wobbling. I shot it. So I was glad I shot it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that started with the two deer that just had their horns and tangles. Well,